This is a time, the fast, when we take, we hear from God and we go forward on things. And I don't know about you, but New Year's are exciting times. But at the same point, I look kind of back at my New Year's and think, man, the enemy tries to sneak in behind some of the excitement of the things I look forward to. And it's like he tries to maybe show up some of the disappointments that I have fallen short in, or I had dreams or goals that I thought would have been met or made last year. And coming into the new year, it's like, where did time go? Out of 365 days, how was I not able to do what I planned to do during those times? And what shortcomings or failures or mistakes would have taken place? And the enemy tries to put a damper on those things. But, you know, the new year gives us that chance to start over again. And we get a new 365 days this year to allow God to do what he set out to do years ago. And the Bible says he's faithful to complete the things that he has started inside of us. I don't know if you're like me, but there were a lot of things last year that I didn't get done or didn't see come into fruition like I truly thought they would have. Starting off a year ago, January, I had great hopes and great expectations. I had made plans and you can even say resolutions and things that I had decided that this year was going to do, or this year was going to be, or this year I was going to accomplish, or maybe this year I was going to move past or get over or get through. And, you know, here comes the year to an end. And I got to be honest with you, in my life, there's a lot of things that are still the same this year that were last year. And so where was the breakdown? Where was the failure? And going into tonight, this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, if you're like me, maybe last year didn't fulfill everything it did or everything you thought it would have. And so how do I make this year different? I want you to take just a minute, and we're going to do a exercise here. I want everybody in here to close your eyes just for a second. And what I want you to do is I want you to place yourself in an ideal circumstance or situation. If you could have life in any kind of way, what would your life look like? If you could have life in any kind of way, what would you be doing? What would you be accomplishing? What problems are you facing today? If your life was perfect and without any lack, what would be different? What problems would be solved? What would be different about you? Just want you to go for a minute and imagine what life could truly be like if everything was perfect. How much money would you have in your accounts? What would your marriage feel like and be like? What would your kids be doing and setting up? What job would you be doing when you got up in the morning excited to go to? And what would you be doing for the Lord right now that would change people's lives, impacting them in an eternal way that would change everything? Just take for a minute and picture your life there. Now, you can open your eyes up, and I want you to understand something. That imagery in you, that's the same image God has for you. As a matter of fact, the Bible actually says that imagery you just had, God's plan for you is so much better. Because the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard the good things that God has in store. That means he's got these plans and he's got these resources and he's got these doors of opportunity and he's got all of these elements in place and ready for your life to completely succeed. So if God has all these things in store, let's address the fact of why don't we have them? Is God being mean? Is he being hard? Is he being dictating? Is he trying to keep us from succeeding? Does he like to see us suffer? You know, one thing I've learned about God over all these years is he's not a wife beater. He doesn't get any pleasure out of making his bride suffer or pain. As a matter of fact, it breaks his heart as much as it hurts your heart when you go through hard situations and hard circumstances. Because the Bible says, cast your cares on him because he truly and he completely cares for you. So why is it, if God has all these great things in store for us, why can't we have them? I can tell you, I know that he has them in store for you because of this. The Bible says he gives you the desires of your heart. When you just closed your eyes a few minutes ago and you were able to picture this life with this marriage, with this finances and the situation, the job and the influence and the impact and the kingdom work and all those things you could imagine, God put those desires inside of you. You didn't create them. And they didn't come from the enemy. And they didn't come from the world. They came from God because he's the one, the Bible says, formed you in your mother's womb when you first began. It said he knew you. He formed you. And then in Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. So those dreams and those desires that are on the inside of you, they're God's plans. Problem is, so many of us go through life and miss out on God's plans. And, you know, they say the greatest potential in the world is in the graveyard. Greatest lost potential is in the world in the graveyard, because people lie there that are buried there whose books have never been written, whose ministries have never been fulfilled, or whose neighbors have never been witnessed to. And people do, can and will go to the grave without accomplishing what God has created them and planned for them to have. So this year, I've made the determination. If God already has all this stuff ready for me, and his plans are for it to come to fruition in my life, then I've got to do the changing, because God doesn't have to. He's already got it already. One of the things we've got to change this year is this thought pattern that God needs you. Because the truth of the matter is, God does not need you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the reason why we were created, you and me were created, was to bring fellowship and worship to God. That's what God had, this hole in his heart, and he wanted fellowship. But the Bible says in another place that if you don't do it, it says the rocks and the trees will cry out. In other words, what that says is this: God is so big that he's not limited to needing you by anybody. And the truth of the matter is, because a lot of us are selfish, ego-minded people, and not by in a bad way, but that's just the way human nature is, that we think that God needs me. So what we do is we wait on God to need us bad enough that he will give us the things we need to do what he's called us to do. But this is the truth. God don't need you. The world needs you. The world needs. That's why God put you here. Because if God needed you, he would have kept you there. Do you understand? If he wanted you. Now, you've got to understand, I've talked about this before the year ended. God wanted you, and he wanted you so bad. He had everything at his disposal. He could do anything and be anything and go anywhere. God, the universe was in his hand, the Bible says. But there was something missing in his heart. I've told this analogy before. It's like, you know, when me and Jim first got married for the first 4 years, man, we lived what I call now, you know, they call it the honeymoon. I call it like a permanent vacation. I get to travel the country. We lived in two different beach towns. We went to the beach every day off. We took many cruises. I took amazing vacations because I was making really good money at the time. And when I was making good money, we were married and we didn't have any kids. So the truth is, we did just about anything we wanted to do the first 4 years of our marriage. And the truth of it was, we were happy, we were having fun, but all of a sudden we woke up one day, and Jennifer, I told you, woke up first, and realized there's got to be something more to that. We're missing something. And then all of a sudden one day, Jennifer came to the realization of what it was, and I remember sitting, we were living in Savannah, and sitting at our table, and Jennifer said, Cricket, I'm ready to have kids. Now, she didn't make that decision because we ever planned or needed our kids to support us, provide for us, serve us in any way. As a matter of fact, they make our life a lot more busy and a lot more complicated, and I clean up a lot more messes because I have them. But there, we realized there was something in our life, and there was more to life, and by us having kids, it gave us more to life. And when we had Alexis, it gave us such abundant joy that we realized we don't want to stop with Alexis, so we had Haley. And then It brought us so much more. You think, how can you love any more than I love those two? Now we have little Isla. She was born last week. And it's amazing to me that, you know, the more I get, the more I can love. And see, when you got to understand this, God didn't need you. He wanted you. Because he desired you, this relationship in you. And we say, well, no, he wanted Adam. Now, do you realize every time a parent has a child, they don't love the other children less, or they don't love a child more. It's when it's a right parent relationship, you love, you have the capacity to love more than you could ever love with just one child. And see, now we're thousands of years from when Adam and Eve were created. And as much as God loved them, he kept creating because he knew every time I create one, I love more. And he created you and he put you here because he loves you that much. The Bible says you bring pleasure to him. He don't need you. So why did he put you on this earth? He put you on this earth because this earth needs you. There is a plan and there is a strategic orchestration of your life that only you could fulfill. So why did God take you and put you here? It was because nobody else could do what you can do here for those that God has lost and are dying and going to hell. So there's purpose to your life. So what does that purpose do, and how do you make that purpose come about? Well, the way you make it come about is you do things different today than you did them yesterday. We've talked about this principle. Every day you can wake up and you're closer to God and you know God more. You have fulfilled the destiny of God for your life that day. If you can lay your head on your pillow and you say, God, I love you more today than I did yesterday. And I know you more today than I did yesterday. And you have fulfilled the destiny of God on your life. Now, how to fulfill the mission of God for your life takes a little bit more work and a little bit more destiny. So you have to look at that point at what your mission in life would be. And your mission in life are those desires that you just imagined a few minutes ago. What you pictured your life doing, when you picture yourself doing something for God, that is the mission of your life. So what would you say tonight if I'm about to tell you the secret to making every one of those imaginations you had a few minutes ago a complete reality? Would you listen? Would you take notes? Would you go home and remember? Would you actually put any of it to practice? If I truly have the secret to make everything in your life a success and everything in your life prosperous, and have the secret and the ability to make every one of your problems change and come to good. Well, the good news is I do have it. And that's what we're going to start off with tonight, okay? Joe, will you go to Psalms 1? Verse 2 and 3. Now, probably one of the most popular scriptures in Psalms is Psalms 23. Probably the second most popular is here. You've known it. You've heard it. And it says this. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditates on day and night. Go ahead and read with me for a few. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now let's read this again in another text out of Joshua 1:8, because this was such an important thing. God put it in here twice. You got to understand in the context where he put it in on this one. Now, in David's starting off of the book of Psalms, the first thing he put in there is this. Hey, if you want everything you do to be a success, here's the secret. Joshua, we pick up in chapter 1, verse 8, we find a young boy that was in way over his head. He'd been up to that point a servant to Moses in the house of God. And it never says up to this point that God had ever spoken to Joshua before. He'd always gotten it from somebody else. He'd always gotten what God had told Moses. But all of a sudden, Joshua finds himself on the cusp of having to lead God's chosen people into a land full of giants, is what 10 out of 12 people said. Popular opinion was this was going to be more work than it's worth. But there were two that said, you know what, this is actually a promise from God, and we're going to take what God has given us. We're not going to give up until we do get it. And when Joshua made those decisions, the Bible says that God showed up and he told Joshua some secrets about life. And those secrets in life is what it was going to take to get the children of Israel into their promised land. The same secret as it worked for taking a shepherd boy from a field to a palace was the same secret that took a servant boy in the tent of God to the leader and then into the promised land. And it didn't just say he went into the promised land. The Bible says this. The Bible says that Joshua went so far into the promised land that he reached the furthest border. And he's the only one that has said about that. In other words, he got everything that God had possibly had in store for him. That's amazing. And he's the only one that the Bible says did make it to that border. So how did he do it? What was different? The same thing that God told David. Here it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great success. It's easy to jump over and read over these scriptures, those two, and those are probably two of the most powerful promises, but yet two of the greatest secrets held in the Bible. Because they tell me what I can do every day this year to make everything I do during each one of those days a complete success. Now, when I look back at my year last year and I see the disappointments or maybe the failures or the things that I didn't quite have enough time to accomplish or the energy to accomplish, they point back to one thing in my life, though. The days that I failed to do this secret. Now, I don't know about you, but if you are like me, in your calendar year, you can look back and there are probably many days that you were too stressed, too busy, too involved, working too hard, too many things going on. Enemy attacking you the minute you had good intentions and you went toward that. But when you started going that way, 10 things went wrong or the car broke. And there were days on your calendars last year that the time that was supposed to be spent with him are missed. Is there anybody in here that's got a complete full calendar meeting with the Lord every single day last year? I want to admonish you because, man, I got to be honest with you. Just me thinking back over my last year, there were days that I can see the efforts and the attacks of the enemy, I missed the prompt. Why was my year not a complete success? And why was my year not a complete prosperous year that it could have been? And the truth is because the enemy knows this secret too. Why is it so hard to be in your Bible every single day? The Bible says this. The Bible says in Psalms says that when you do this, you become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, the Bible makes reference in many places in the Bible that you are like a tree. It says the righteous are like a palm tree. Yeah, I love that aspect because the palm tree has so many unique and unbelievable characteristics. Do you know a palm tree is the only tree you can't put a band or a chain around and choke it? You put a band or a chain around an oak tree, and that tree will grow, and as it grows, what happens to that chain? It stays there, and the tree will go around it and go around it, and likely, more times than not, eventually, that chain will kill the life from that tree. A palm tree is the only tree that doesn't happen to, because a palm tree grows in bands. You take a palm tree, you put a chain around a palm tree, and you give it enough time, and that palm tree will bust that chain off. Because it grows in bands. It grows out. It doesn't go around. And it has the power to break any anything you put around a palm tree. It will not kill it. See, the Bible says that's what you're like. No matter what the enemy, what bondage or band the enemy's put on you, God says you're like the palm tree. And you'll be able to break this. And you give it enough time. You give God enough time. You stay close enough to God for long enough. Those bondages will break. And that's the truth. But here he says, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He calls the Christians like the trees of Lebanon. He makes references to trees all through the Bible. God makes reference. But here, this reference he makes to us, this is what he says. He says, when we meditate on the word day and night, we're like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. One translation says, by the rivers of living water. Now, with the references of trees, go on and put in your mind and understand that God looks at you and he says, all right, these guys, I reference them being like trees. Because what a tree does is wherever a tree's planted, whatever's closest to it in the form of resources, that's what it draws its life from. So when you plant a tree by a cow pond, it draws its resources from a cow pond. Now, does anybody know what's in a cow pond? You know, if it's a cow pond, it's full of all kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is, I've got three pictures up here tonight. And, you know, this is water of a cow pond. Now, let me ask you this. If I poured you a glass of water from our cow pond, would anybody volunteer to drink this for me? Why? Because it's what we would call stagnant and contaminated. Any life not going forward is stagnant and contaminated. You know, psychologically, they have proven this. They have said that any person that is not moving forward is a person that is not happy. But any person moving forward or progressing in life, you can be happy at no matter what level of life you're on. You put somebody with $1 million and they quit going forward or after or progressing in any way, they get comfortable, they will find themselves, even with $1 million, unhappy. So they will begin to tap into resources to try to feel happiness or be happy or get a break, or they will tie into friends, they will try into relationships, they will try into addictions, they will try into all kinds of things to get happy. When the truth of the matter is, it wasn't the things that got them, it was their state that got them there. They decided they were going to be planted by a cow pond. They allowed life to get stagnant. They allowed life to get contaminated. And so now, instead of drawing life like it pictures in Psalm 1, they find themselves drawing life out of this. And this has an effect on you. Parasites and things grow in this that if you were to drink, it could damage your life completely. So do you want to know the secret to being happy? Doctors say, it's be going forward. You can take somebody making minimum wage and they can be happy if they have the potential or the high or the sight to be able to go after going forward or doing better in the future. If you take that hope of doing better away, there's no need to do better or no desire to do better, then they'll be unhappy. We have millionaires kill themselves and we have people on Skid Row kill themselves. So it's not a resource thing that makes people happy. It's a directional thing. And the minute you quit going forward, listen to me, you're going backwards. The minute you quit going in a direction, you're going backwards. And so if you want to be happy this year, you're going to have to make the decision, I've got to go forward this year. I've got to go forward in my life this year. I've got to go forward in my relationship with God this year. I've got to go forward at work this year. I've got to go forward. And we're going to really be dealing with a lot of that this Sunday morning, because the first word I felt like the Lord gave me, we're going to deal with this Sunday morning. I'm so excited about it. I can't hardly not preach about it tonight, but we've got to establish this first. Now, that's cow pond water. And we can look at that water and we can all agree, that's not something I really want fueling my life. I don't want my life source to come out. I've never met someone that has suffered from alcoholism, look back over the years and say, you know what? I don't mind being addicted to alcohol. What it is when we get complacent, we don't realize what actually comes through those sources. I've never met anybody that had gotten hooked on drugs. I've never met anybody that had got, pulled into the wrong relationship. I've never met anybody that had planted their life in a complacent state and began to draw life from stagnant things that didn't have great regret and great disappointment in their life. Now, the Bible says we're like a tree planted. But water. So what if it's not complacence in your life? What if it's like this water? Now, I got this thing dirty because I had it in the same boat, but this water comes from a completely different place. And by the looks of it, it looks okay. By the looks at it, but I'll give this definition to this water. This water did not come out of a faucet, and this water didn't come out of a bottle, and it didn't come out of a drink dispenser in any way. This water came from a place that every one of us have in our house and probably have a couple of them. As a matter of fact, though, it's the same water that's redirected through the same pipes to your kitchen. But it's in a different place. Now, let me ask you this. Is anybody in here willing to drink this glass of water? Why? It's not stagnant. As a matter of fact, this water comes and goes. It's constantly moving. The thing about it is, this water is constantly moving in directions that we wouldn't want to go with. And it's constantly moving things that you wouldn't want to move with. Now what happens is, the reason why we go through years of looking back and saying, mistakes were good, because what happened is we became trees that didn't plant by rivers or streams of water. We've planted ourselves by bowls of water. And when you plant yourself by bowls of water, what happens is there are things in there that will take you in the same directions they take themselves. Wrong relationships, wrong desires, wrong motives, wrong attitudes, wrong words. And there are people that, they're movers and shakers, but they're moving and shaking in directions that were never intended for you to move. They move with gravity, you can say. Toilet bowls flush downwards because of gravity and the pull of the world that has on it. Now, if you have in the last year decided that you were going to be a tree that was going to plant itself close to things that are affected by the pull of the world, then we have regrets that we carry with us going into this year. That's not God's intention. His intention is not for us to have these regrets that we carry into the new year. His intention for us is for us to be prosperous and everything we do be a success. Now, this last thing of water actually came out of a filtered refrigeration system. And it's drinkable. What makes this water different than those waters? This one, stagnant. This one is purposely put where it is to have the pull of the world, the pull of gravity on it. Now, this one has a completely different purpose for it. It was placed and plumbed into a way that it was to bring refreshment, that it was to bring life. You can go 40 days without food. I'm finding out that I feel like I'm dying 21 days without meat, but I'm still living. But you can only go 3 days without water. And the Bible says this. He said it in Psalms. He said that if I'll become a tree planted by the rivers of water, one translation says rivers of living water. Another translation says streams of water. Water's moving. And this is a way you can look at a stream in the direction God put it to move. Because streams are unusual things. Streams, you know what I'm saying? You can't predict or determine a stream, but you know, then you can be right out in the middle of a field and dig a hole, and all of a sudden you can bust open a spring, and it'll spray, and it'll make a reservoir in the middle of a desert. It's just, streams are unique. They bring life where there was no life, and if you've ever been around streams, they're just amazing. But he said, if you will do it his way, your life will be connected to a stream. And then look what he says, what the effect of you being by a stream of water is. He says, you will bear fruit in your season. Now, this tells me something about my year this year. And it should tell you something about your year this year. It should tell you that this, in the aspect of seed time and harvest, they're in a cycle of a year. See, I've been actually convinced for years that, you know what, I would have a streak of a 3-year hard time and think, well, yep, it's just not my season yet. How many guys have been through a extended long period of time that seemed tough and hard and you're just waiting on your season? You know, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 5 or 7, it said that is the spirit of the Antichrist is to wear the saints out to change the times and the season. You know what you need to know about a season? Is every year has a season in it. Everything that bears fruit has a season in it every year. I want to tell you this year. There is a season in this year for you. And there was a season in last year for you. And there was a season in last year for me. And the truth is, if I did not get a season, it was not God's fault. Because the Bible says that as long as the sun comes up, there will be time of seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. And seasons happen in cycles of years. And if I did not get a season last year, then I had the opportunity or the potential to get a season this year. Thing is, I'm going to have to do something different this year than I did last year. Because the enemy's goal is to change your times and to change your seasons. He would love nothing more for you to live your whole life stagnant. Or nothing more to live your whole life in winter. Or whole time in drought. You know, the Bible says in Amos this. It says that there was a great famine in the land. But it said that God was going to give a group of people the ability to break a famine. This year, I'm telling you, we're going to have the opportunity. That's the word the Lord has given me this year, that this is a year of opportunity. That we will have a year of opportunity. And there will be some of us that will break the famine. We may have been through a season longer than this season should have been. But this is a year the potential is for us to be able to break the famine and reap a harvest. If we can do it different than we did last year. So what do we say here? The Bible says that we are planted by rivers of living water. Or streams of water. Or rivers of water. It's moving, it's going, it's progressing. Well, you've got to decide this year. You're going to get closer. You're going to go further. You're going to be progressively moving. A better word is up. And we're going to really deal with that this Sunday morning. What it means to go up. Do you know how many times in the Bible God says, come up, go up, rise up? Do you realize most of the miracles Jesus performed, he walked to people and said, rise up, before he ever said walk? But we'll get into a lot of that this Sunday morning. The potential to get that water in there. Well, how do I get that water? It says, you'll bear fruit in your season. That's what it says. And it says, and your leaves will not wither. That's amazing that it says, your leaves will not wither. That means no matter how hard, how bad, how tough, how rough, how disappointing you situation the enemy has in store for you this year, if you can tap into living water, you will not, what destroys and dries up and hurts other people will not affect you. It says your leaves will not wither. And then it says this. It says everything you do will prosper. Everything. Every relationship you have will become better. Every money venture you get into will become better. Every situation, you will prosper in every way. So how does it happen? Same way, Joshua 1:8 said the same thing. Psalms 1 here says it. Says this, that we have to be willing to be put into the rivers of living water. My job is this, to make sure that where I draw my life source is the living water and not stagnant water and not water that is drawn by the world. If I get my life source, if I get my excitement, if I get my motivation, if I get all of that from here, I'm not promised there. If I get it here, I'm not promised there. So what do I got to do to get it there? He said it real clear. Psalms 1:2 says this. If you'll meditate on the word day and night, it is this simple. It is truly this simple how to get it there. So we'll go through these real quick and then I'm going to leave it to you. It's real simple. The word of God has the power to transform this year in a way that it never has. Like I said, I look back at my calendar last year. Why would I even question why I had defeats or disappointments? Because how many days on my calendar didn't have a check in it that I did not get in the Word? So I'm putting a challenge before you this year. Are you going to make this year different? Are you going to, you know, because a lot of times I know every year I start off strong. And every day I start off with the right intentions. But I have to make a decision that I'm not going to, this year I'm going to connect into this water, because this water is where I want to go. And what the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, what comes out of the word has the power to give me life, even far above what anything else can offer. And so how do I do it? We're going to break this down real quick. Do we got a few more minutes? Bible says this. The Bible says that the Bible is an amazing book. It's different than any other book you will ever read. It's amazing. If you want to take it at its simplest level, it's a history book. At its simplest level, it's the most accurate and dead-on history book that exists in the world today. Scientists have tried to disprove it. They have actually went. Archaeologists tried to go to certain places that the Bible talked about things would happen, and they would try to disprove that it happened that way. And like I say, even they go down to the ancient city of Jericho. They were going to prove that Jericho's walls, there's no ways that they fell down. If you ever watch the History Channel, you'll see they got a whole show on that, how the walls, they don't can't explain it. All they can think is it was either a great earthquake or there was something that plummeted into there, but the walls collapsed in on themselves. They didn't fall one way or the other. In the simplest form of the Bible, it's a history book. Well, you say, okay, what purpose has a history book got? Well, history has two purposes. One, it will either let you learn from it, or it will let you repeat it. You can either learn from history or repeat history. And the truth of the matter is, history is full of a bunch of people that have failed. But history is also full of a bunch of people that learned from history that became successes. So how do I make this year different? I have to look in the Word of God. And what people did that succeeded in the Bible, I have to do what they did. People that failed that what they did in the Bible, I have to not do what they did. You can learn from history. In the next form, the Word of God is an informational book. They have been trying to disprove that, and still the amazing information in the Bible is so amazing. Still today, they're unraveling amazing informational things. For example, in the 80s, Bill Gothard was a pastor in a church. And while he was pastoring the church, a young kid in his church got his femur leg broke in a football game, and they wouldn't put the kid in the hospital. They put him in a full body cast, had his leg up like it did, and they told him it'd be 6 weeks before that bone mended. And so as he was going, they were giving him every morning, giving him milk for calcium, and they were giving him meat for protein. So every morning they gave it to him, every lunch they gave him milk and meat, and every dinner they gave him milk and meat, which would make sense. If you drink milk, you've heard it, make strong bones. If you eat protein, it grows strong bones. So getting that every meal would make sense. 6 weeks later, they took the cast off. His leg was still completely broken. Put him back in a cast again. They did it again. 6 weeks later, he'd now been in the hospital for 12 weeks. His leg was still completely broken. Bill Gothard was his pastor. Was reading his Bible one morning and saw the scripture in Exodus that says, don't seed thy milk with thy meat. This is medically proven now. They have a medical journal on it. You can go to Bill Gothard's websites. And he's got a huge ministry. And he directs y'all to... He went into the boy's doctor and said, could you do me a favor? Just try this. Would you give him the milk in the morning with no meat, other things, bran, and give him the meat in the evening? They did it, and 3 weeks later, the boy walked out completely healed, because now it is medically proven when you drink milk with the calcium and you eat meat with the protein, they cancel each other out, and they'll pass right through your body. Your body gets none of the benefits of either one. And that was in the Bible the whole time. Every answer to every situation in your health, relationship, mental, emotional, spiritual, every problem in your life, the answer can be found in the Bible. Because in its second form, it is an answer book. It is a book full of information. The next level of the Bible is this. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. Do you want to know how to succeed? The answer is in the Bible. You want to know how to success? It's in the Bible. Everything that you need as wisdom. Wisdom's different than information. Information is facts and figures. Wisdom is what to do with your facts and figures. And the Bible will completely tell you how to live and be blessed in every part of your life. It's full of wisdom. The next part of the Bible, though, is the most important. It is the inspired, moving, living, working, breathing Word of God. It's alive. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is the power of the gospel, the Bible says, to change and to save me. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and is fast and is sharper than a two-edged, and it's proceeding, it's moving. It's a living thing in your life. And you will not be able to live the life that you desire and imagine and dream to live without it being involved in your life. It's the essence of life within itself. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. This word, the words in this book, have actually brought physically dead bodies to life. It is a power that this world has never seen. And God has given it to us freely. Think about it, we don't understand the importance, or not necessarily, a lot of us don't understand it. We just don't know how to consume it. So what happens is we do this. We go through life getting into the Word, usually 1 or 2 hours a week when we're at church. Now let me ask you this. How many of you guys in this middle of this fast see that you could live the rest of this year fasting the way you're fasting, or maybe you change your diet and you eat 1 or 2 times a week and be okay? It would have a huge effect on your life. The strength that you have today, you would not have in 12 months from now if you did that, if you ate 1 or 2 times a week. Now, the thing about it is, do you know one of the number one reasons or excuses people say they leave a church over? They say this, well, I just wasn't being fed. How many of you guys have heard somebody say that? Let me ask you this. How many times have you thought that? Be honest with you. How many guys? Okay. You've thought that. Well, I'm just not being fed there. You know, the fact of it is this. We have 3 daughters. When Alexis was 1 year old, me or Jennifer, one, fed her every year, every day. 3 to 5 times a day sometimes, and she grew fine. All right? We did the same with Haley, and we're doing the same right now with Isla. We get up every 2 or 3 hours a night, and we're feeding this baby. Why? Because that's what it takes to sustain the life of this baby. Now, Alexis is 8 years old. I don't feed her anymore. Today, when she came home from school, she came and said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I said, kid, you know where the pantry is. She's old enough and responsible enough to go get her own food. Now, what would you think if a 30-year-old person walked into your house and he weighed about 20 pounds and he was barely dragging across the floor, and you said, what's wrong? What's happening? He said, well, there's nobody to feed me. What would you think? You think there's no hope for this one. At this point, he should be able to feed himself. The next time the enemy tells you, well, I'm just not being fed, pick up your fork. If you're only living on Sundays and Wednesdays anyway, you are weak and you are going to live a life that is pathetic. Because it takes more than you being fed twice a week for you to have the life that God wants you to have. So the Word of God is going to be the essence of your life this year. So we have an opportunity to make this year different than last year. I've made the commitment. I'm going to try to make every day that I didn't get the slash on my calendar last year to have the slash on it this year. Because it will make the difference. So we'll say, how do you do it? I'm going to give you a couple of plans real quick and we're out of here. You need to get into it with the plan. Because if you don't go into it with the plan, what do they say? If you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. All right, another statement. If you make excuses, if you're good at making excuses, you're not good at anything else. There is no excuse, if you understand this principle right now, for us to fail this year. And as we need a plan and we need to set a goal and a way for us to be in the Word of God every day this year. Because it says, if I'll do it every day, then what will take place is everything I do this year will prosper. And it's not going to be next year's year, because there's a season in every year for us. There's a season this year for you. And if you will do and tap into the water that it takes, you will see your season. So the number one question, where do you do it at? Where do you get into your Word? All right, the Bible says in Psalm 23, it says, by still waters, He leads me by still waters. If there's not a place in your day that you can get still, you're not tapping into the right water. If there's not a time or place in your day that you can get somewhere and it settles down, where you can actually be still and focus your mind on the Word of God, then what happens is you're missing the living water. Number one, you need a still place. So where do you do it at? Anywhere that's still. Some people do the war. I love the War Room movie, Sister Vashti. I watched it again the other day. Because that room, she got away from everything and shut the door. And she was able to get before God. And it changed her. And that's a true story. It changed her world. And not only did it change her world, now she is famous everywhere she goes. Isn't that amazing? Just doing what Psalms 1 and Joshua 1 said. Changed everything. All right? So the next thing is not where, but when. A lot of people have questions of when. Some people say you got to do it first thing in the morning. Let me give you this little bit. You do it whenever you're at your best. Whenever you're at your best. See, me and Jennifer are different personalities. I'm a morning person. I wake up in a good mood. It's lunch before Jennifer gets there. All right? We're different. And you're different. And you're individual. So when do I get before the Lord? You get before the Lord when you're at your very best. Do you understand that? In other words, if you learn better in the evenings and you can focus better in the evenings, then you get before the Lord in the Word in the evenings. Because I got to be honest with you. If you're really good in the morning and you wait to read your Bible the last part of the day, you're not getting anything out of it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You're too tired if you're not an evening person. If you're not a night person, you're not getting it. It's not doing you any good. You're not meditating on it. You're not processing it. So if you're the best in the morning, do it in the morning. If you're best at lunch hour, do it at lunch hour. If you're best in the evening, do it in the evening. Do it whenever you're the best. So the big thing is how. And that's where a lot of us follow up. The way you do it, how you do it, is you have to start off with the plan. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. But if you don't go in knowing how to bite that elephant, you might bite him and get a kick. So you need to go in with the plan on how I'm going to eat this elephant. Because the Bible's a big book, and it's got 60, it's a book with 66 books in it. And the truth of the matter is, half of it you're not going to understand unless you make a plan to get one that you are going to understand and be able to process through. So you need to do it in a way that you can do it. And there's several different ways out there. For years, I went through the chronological order Bible, through the New Living Word. For years, I went through the cartoon Bible, through the picture Bible. For years, this year, I brought this with me to show you what I'm going through. I'm going through what they call the Life Journal. Inside this Life Journal, it has a daily reading plan. And what it does here is it's got the daily reading plan. And the way they got this daily reading plan set up is, if I will just follow the reading plan, by the end of the year, I will have read through the Old Testament once, the New Testament twice, not spent more than 20 minutes a day. And you say, well, Cricket, I don't really do good with books. You know, if you open your Bible and you'll read 3 chapters a day, every day for a year, you'll read the entire Bible all the way through. So maybe your plan is, I read 3 chapters a day. There are some people that have never been able to follow a plan or even that. But what I did, I didn't know if anybody else wanted to, but I've ordered 10 of these. And so if you've never walked through a plan or you need a plan, I'll give you a plan. And what I like about this plan is it gives me the track to do it, but I can choose the Bible that I'm going to do it through. Does that make sense? And I like that because, you know, I've got several different translations of the Bible. And so one day I might read it out of the Message, and one day I might read it out of the NIV. So I can change different translations of the Bible, but I'm still on my same plan, and I'm going to track that thing. And then what it does is this thing breaks it down into what they call the SOAP principle. This is the SOAP principle. The SOAP is this. Every day you read your, or get before and you read your Bible, you do it with a purpose and a plan. So you get into your, the analogy, S-O-A-P, and the S stands for Scripture. In the 20 minutes while you're reading, while you're looking there, you try to find a Scripture that speaks to you. You look in the Scripture and you find one that speaks to you. And if you don't know what it speak, what Scripture speaking to you means, it means you hadn't spent enough time in your Bible. Because you get in there at any amount of time, and all of a sudden, it's like one of them will glow or make sense. It's like a light will come on, and it will happen. Now, will it happen every day? I don't know if it'll happen for you every day. It don't happen to me for me every day, but I can promise you this. At least one day out of the week, one of those Scriptures blows up in my world. And when it blows up in my world, it changes my world. And what the Bible says, what that really changing is separating my flesh and my spirit. Because it's a two-edged sword which separates the soul. So when that thing's blowing up, what it's doing is changing you. So he says, first you get your Scripture, you find out which one you're going to read, and then the O is for observe. You find the one that God's speaking to you out of. The next one is A. If he's speaking to you out of it, that means there's something in that Scripture that he's wanting you to apply. There's something he's wanting you to do. So you figure out a way to apply it. And then the last P is for pray about it. You ask God to help you apply this Scripture or this revelation or this life change to your life on a daily basis. And so that's the SOAP principle. The way the pastor that introduced me, that he's a pastor in Hawaii, what he said was this. He said he does it 20-20-20. He says he reads the Bible. And it takes about 20 minutes to read three chapters. It takes about 20 minutes to read the daily reading plan here. He reads the Bible for 20 minutes. Then what you'll find in this journal is it gives you two different reading plans. There's called the express plan and the regular plan. And then on the right when you get past the express plan is this. There's what they call a table of contents, and they're completely blank. So you write the day, and you write the Scripture you read there, and then you flip over to a page. And what you do is, for after you've read it for 20 minutes, you write down for 20 minutes what you felt like the Lord spoke to you out of that today. And you'd be surprised the way God speaks to you in ways that he's never spoke to you before. How do these preachers get these amazing messages like they get? What they do is they apply the SOAP principle. They look in the, they get a Scripture. They look for what God could be speaking out of it. They try to find a way to apply it. And then they begin to pray for wisdom how to communicate it. Now, if only reason why you get in a Bible, and I've learned this at times in my year, is to be able to give out, then you're going to fail anyway. The promises won't work for you. If you're just getting and going it, you're supposed to take it, put it in you, apply it in you, and then give it to others and show others how to apply it. That's the principle. That's the way the Word of God works. You take it, you put it in you, you let it change you, and then you actually have something you can give somebody else. But so the 20 minutes is this. 20 minutes, you first read. If you're at the best time of your day, you read for 20 minutes. At some time during the day, you sit down and you write what you believe God told you out of that day for 20 minutes. You journal. And if you say, well, Cricket, I don't know what to write. Well, you can write a prayer. God, I ask that you would make me whatever the Scripture was about. You can write the journal as a prayer that you pray to God. And then for the last 20 minutes a day, you talk to somebody about it. Because so you've done taking it, you've done put it in you. And then you can share it with somebody else. And what it does, when you talk about it, it embeds it in you in another way. To your, even your subconscious actually moves it, like the Bible says, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Takes it from your head to your heart when you can share it. You ever tried to study for a test and you would get it in your head, you'd cram the night before, you go take the test and you pass the test, but 3 days later you couldn't spell that word again if you had to. But yet, somebody take a few minutes and explain it to you, like the word together. And they teach you the principle of to get her, and then they show you the little neat things that they see in it, and then all of a sudden, you'll never forget how to spell that word again, because it went from here to here. The Word of God works the same way. When you take it into here, and you take it here, and you begin to put it there, once it moves down there, and when you take it out of here and you give it to somebody else, you've got it. So just by you communicating with somebody for 20 minutes a day, and then before you, that's an hour a day. And the Bible says this in Proverbs, when you get before the Lord, it will add hours to your day. You say, well, Cricket, I don't got an hour. You're on the phone at least 45 minutes a day right now anyway. The average American's on the phone 2 hours and 15 minutes a day is what the statistic is. Why not, while you're on the phone with somebody, just tell them what you read in the Bible today, what God's been sharing with you and doing with you. It will change your life. We're way over. I love you guys. But we're going to shut down with this. If you'll get a plan and you will make a decision that the source I will draw my life from this year will be none other than living water. I'm telling you, your season will come quicker than you thought it did. How many guys remember just a few months ago, it being so hot you didn't even want to go outside? How many last week was thinking, man, I cannot wait for summer to get here? Seasons change faster than you really, although right when you're in the middle of a season, you're thinking, you know what, I wish this next one would get here. But when that next day, you realize how fast they change. You get connected into the living water this year. You make a decision. You come up with a plan and you formulate a way to make sure that your life source is going to come out of here daily and your season will change before you ever even knew it. Father God, I ask you, you take your word and you embed it in our minds and you process it through our hearts, Father God. As that you would cause us right now to take an action right now, God, to make a commitment before you that this year will be different than last year. We make a commitment. We understand that life will only come from your living water, your word, your time with you in your presence, God. So, God, I ask you, don't let me wake up a single day this year without remembering. And you burn it on my conscience for me that you want to be with me today and you've got something for me. All I have to do is show up. Father God, I thank you that your plans for every single person in here today is for this year to be the most prosperous, the most successful, the greatest, the best year they have ever had. Everything they do this year will succeed. Everything they do this year, God, your desire is for it to be such an impact that they will shine the way you've intended them to shine. But we know, God, it only comes from you. So God, I make the commitment this year. You just make a commitment before the Lord at your level. If you want to keep your level of being in God's presence in his word one day a week, just tell him that. Make your commitment to him now. If you want it to be every day this year, you make a commitment to him. Say, God, help me keep this commitment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Hey guys, love.